everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified internist, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, Tim Flucky, Mark Chavez, and Mike Ransom. Did I say Ransom? Yes. That's right. All here from Edema. We've been playing your song on our breakers. What are those called, Drew?
Bumpers.
Bumpers. Mm-hmm. On our bumpers. So we're very familiar with your work.
Boom.
There we go.
We're familiar with 15 to 20 seconds of your work, of several songs.
Right, yeah. Right. And edema, Drew, that means something medically?
Edema, E-D-E-M-A.
It's different?
Spelling, yeah.
We changed the spelling.
You got to start reading. What's the E? What's with the E? What does that mean?
They changed the spelling. What does that mean?
No, but what does it mean?
Oh, it's swelling. It's tissue.
Just swelling.
Tissue fluid, yeah.
And what's edema mean?
Nothing.
Yeah, it means absolutely nothing. Just a name to represent the five of us in our band.
Nothing.
Really? That's good.
Looks better with an A on the end, I guess.
Yeah, that was bold. And you guys are all from, everyone from Bakersfield?
Yeah, we're all from Bakersfield.
Yep. Are you out yet?
I mean, yeah, definitely
out of
there.
Do you have to go back?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to experience that this last summer. It's like 110 degrees there every day, so I was excited.
Have you heard how Adam disparages your hometown?
Oh, you don't like the Bakersfield?
No. You've never heard him speak of Bakersfield?
We've heard.
It's the kind of town you just keep driving through.
Yeah. And don't even roll the windows down.
That's right.
And if a cop tries to pull you over, just keep going till you get to Mammoth. it's safer. Yeah, well, no, but I have said Riverside is worse than Bakersfield, haven't I?
No.
Oh, I said the other way around?
You've equated the two, yes.
Oh, all right.
That's
I'm sorry, fellas.
Right there.
But that's all right. I come from North Hollywood, and that sucks, and I speak openly about the suckitude of North Hollywood. I think it's refreshing when people beat up their hometown. Now, somebody is Jonathan from Korn's half-brother. Who is that, Mark?
Yeah, that's my older brother.
Same mom?
Yeah, same mother.
Wow.
Interesting.
Was she in a band?
Actually, she did sing in bars and stuff when she was about 20 to, like, 23. She'd sing and stuff and do stuff like that. She was more into, like Broadway plays and stuff like that. She was into theatrical stuff.
But you think it's her musical influence that sent you guys down this path, or just being pissed off about living in Bakersfield that really...
I think maybe that was half of it. Other than that, I think it was just a lot of records playing in the house, different things going on, and you know, that was kind of our way to hang out as a family. We'd hang out, listen to different music and stuff, so...
Anna Get Your Gun, Oklahoma.
So now, did Jonathan help you at all?
Actually, no. That was one of the focus for this band, was not to use that as like a stepping stone or anything.
Did you grow up with him?
Yeah. We grew up together, but you know, there's 8 years difference. So, you know, he was living with his father, and I was living with my mom. So there was a lot of time that wasn't spent there. But you know, we got our band together. You know, we've been doing music a long time. Everyone in Edema, as well as Korn. I think just good music comes out of the city and stuff, and it just kind of happened naturally.
It's scary, but Bakersfield has kind of a music scene. I mean, not the city, but
there's
it's nothing to do there. But it's putting musicians out.
Yeah, there's really nothing to do there. So, you know, people form bands or gangs or, you know, whatever. That's kind of like the thing there.
Gang's just a band with without a guitar, if you really think about it. All right, so Dima's here. I'll give you some of the dates. They're going to be at the Palladium tomorrow night, by the way, Friday night out here in Los Angeles, and then Vegas, Salt Lake City, Kansas City, Lincoln, Nebraska, I'm guessing, Wichita. Oh, my God. You guys are on a serious tour. And are you bussing it everywhere?
Yeah.
Good times.
That's good. Unless some crazy Croat slits someone's throat and drives everyone into a drainage ditch. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
What?
Some guy on a Greyhound bus just slit the driver's throat and took everybody off the road. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do. It wasn't a terrorist act. It was just...
He just flipped out.
Some crazy guy.
Yeah. But, it's kind of a weird time we're living in, because you hear the story about the guy who slits the throat of the Greyhound bus driver and kills six people, and you go, oh, Christ, another terrorist attack. And then it's then it turns out he's just crazy, and you're like, ah.
It's refreshing.
Oh, that's quaint.
We're safe again.
We all breathe a sigh of relief. We're back to being murdered by our own. Thank goodness. We can all relax now. Yeah. We'll be killed by our own blood out there on the highway. All right, so we'll hear something off the new CD entitled The Dema and give you some more tour dates and all that. That may be one of the ones we're going to hear tonight. Will?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, Adam Carolla, you're the man.
Oh, thanks.
Dr. Drew. Great.
What's up,
bro? The Dema, I love your music.
Well, thanks,
man.
Thank you very much.
That's cool. I can suck an air through my ass. And
apparently the authorities have found out about this.
What was that?
You can suck air in.
Yeah, and I can blow it out. I can like fart like as loud as I can, like as loud as anyone. Yeah,
in through your butt. You can suck it in through your butt.
Do you practice
that?
On
the roof.
You're on the roof.
On the roof.
I see.
And they're on to you, Will.
What? I'm like in my girlfriend's house, and her parents don't know I'm here.
I see. They live in a nice neighborhood, huh?
No, that was ambulances.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool, then. Someone's just dead.
But anyways, yeah, I can fucking hear it through my ass.
Right. Let me ask, we've talked to people about this before, and one question I always forget to ask is, if your head was underwater, could you breathe through your ass? will it work as a sort of snorkel or asshole, as it were?
I think it works that way, but...
Well, try it. See if you put your head in like a kiddie pool and stick your ass up in the air and see if you can stay there for like 10, 20 minutes. True, wouldn't that be great?
I just think like a whale. That's all.
Well, if you can suck air in.
Why not?
Blowhole. Okay.
All right, so what's...
my abilities if you really want me to.
Oh, would you like to demonstrate?
If you want me to.
Well, we twisted your arm, didn't we, Will?
If you want me to.
All right, we'll do it, but here's the deal. I want to hear the air going in as well, so I know it's not a hoax.
All right, hold on a second. I got to get in my position.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
All right.
On the roof.
Here it goes.
Like a bunch of farts, dude.
Yeah, I give it a 4. Wow, that was huge. Huge.
When did you find out you knew this talent?
When I was little, I was looking under my couch for some change, and all of a sudden the air just rushed right in my ass, and it freaked me out, and I was like, what the hell? So and then when I got up, I just felt like I felt I had a fart, and that thing was like monstrous. It was like 10 seconds long. It was sick.
Is that like a queef or something?
Yeah, Drew, how does that work? How come some people can do that? No, but I mean, why is this limited to such a select few in our population?
Why is there only one Sammy Sosa?
I guess you're right. Drew's right. Drew's right.
Barry Bonds, come on.
Sammy Sosa could do that?
There are only so many guys.
I think that's what Drew is saying. Hey, Will? So was that all on the way? Is that all on the way out, or did we hear some on the way
in? I saw some in. I can do it so loud. I'll wake up.
You
our did. Parents.
You heard both.
Well, they must be delighted.
I am being. If you want, I can go on the very edge of the roof and just let one huge one out. If you want me to.
Yeah, I'd like that. I think I would. Yeah.
Last one was very.
Is he on the roof of a single family home?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm on the roof of. See, her parents know that I'm dating her and everything.
Right.
But they don't know that, you know, I come up at night sometimes just to be with her, and she's still going to school and everything.
Right.
Where is she right now?
She's in she has like a double room, and she's in the other room.
She's in the other room.
Yeah.
She's not beholding the
talent.
Yeah. Is this what attracted her to you, or?
Oh, no. She didn't know about this for, you know, until like about 4 months in the relationship, and she thinks it's pretty cool.
She's
just so used to it that she's inside the house and you're just out on the roof.
Yeah.
As normal. Status quo out on the roof.
All right, give us one more, Will.
All right, you want to hear it suck in and everything?
Yeah, I'd like to hear the whole process.
All right, hold on a second. Here you go.
Thank you. Yeah.
boy.
You know, the funny...
Now this is wonderful.
I like to fast forward to tomorrow morning when Dad's on the phone going, yeah, Bert, I'm running a little bit late. I'll be in the office. Holy Christ, what the hell happened to this phone? It has fecal matter on it.
Yeah, does anything come out when you do that?
His soul, I think. Let me get Will back on here. Hey, Will?
Yeah.
It's just air, right? I mean...
It's basically all air, yeah.
Right. It's like a wind douche for guys. Right? I'm jealous. As a guy who farts conventionally and is pretty proud of it, I'm very jealous of Will. And I now know how women feel about other women who have breast implants. Like, that's cheating. You know, this is something that's near and dear to me. That bitch got implants. That's the way I feel about Will. All right. Very nice, Will. Call back anytime. Boy, that was impressive. Yeah.
Christine? Yeah.
Can you fart? Or?
I lost, like, my whole thought because of that.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
That was disgusting.
Oh.
And you guys were laughing so hard, too.
That was true. Drew loves that.
He takes all the...
It really is the difference between men and women. There
that's
it is.
Right.
Pow. Just the defining difference right there.
All right. What's up there, Christine?
My boyfriend is giving me trouble for 2 years. He's cheated on me. And I feel like I belong on Jerry Springer because, like, I'm not leaving him. And I'm like, well, I love him, you know?
Did he cheat with the same person for two years?
Yeah, like the whole time.
So he just had a very long affair.
Yeah.
And how'd you find out about it?
I found her number in his laundry, and I called it, and then that started the whole thing.
Do you think if we talked to him, who would he say his girlfriend was? You or her?
I guess it would depend on who you talk to.
Well, what if we talked to him?
Probably me, because I was first.
You were first?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And why? And you just discovered this after 2 years?
No, I've known about it for... I sound so stupid, I know. For like a year.
When did you find the number in the laundry? Was the last time?
Like a year ago. That was...
So he it took him a year to memorize her phone number?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What's he carrying around this piece of evidence for a year?
It was like her new cell phone number.
Her new cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he'd already been dating her for a while.
Yeah.
All right, but again, it sounds not so much like he was cheating on you as he was sort of deceiving both of you and sort of dating both of you.
Yeah, he was. I've talked to her many times on the phone.
Did she think she was a girlfriend?
Yeah, she knew kind of something about me. I moved to New York from San Diego for him. Yeah. And he told her that things didn't work out and I had left.
Mm. Right.
So she honestly had no clue about me.
So she thought she was the girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right.
So now what's he say?
Now he's like, she's out of the picture. Anything she says to you, she's lying. But obviously the trust is not so good with us. So
right, well, at least you've learned that.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're feeling like you never really had a relationship in a way.
I hope you're feeling that way.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Where did you learn that this is even remotely acceptable as a relationship?
I have no idea.
And
I know, like, if I was giving outside advice to someone in my situation, I'd be like, you know, leave him, you know, everything, but...
Well, why can't you?
Just the fact that if I leave here, or him, and go back to San Diego, like, to think that I'll never see him again, I don't know. I don't want that.
Why? Do you rather have this abuse?
Because I love him.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know what you're talking about, and I don't know how old you guys are, but I know, Drew, I'm talking to Adema, by the way, but... Here's the thing. You do get that feeling of, I'm never going to see this person again, and it freaks you out when you're younger. And when you're older...
You're thankful.
Yeah, you go, I'm never going to see this person again.
Yeah.
It's great news. Yeah, but there's this weird thing, like you invested 3 years of your life, and you'll never get that back, and you'll never see this person again. But believe me, it's a healthy thing.
Yeah, you've got to go through that.
Yeah, this guy's flawed, Christine. I think you got to get out of this one.
I know.
You'll never trust him.
It's never going to work out. Yeah, it's too much violation here. It's not like you have something bonding you together, like a child. I hope not, anyway. A child or something.
No.
And there's no reason to. There's just nothing, no common grounds
plus,
to build
something. Plus, you'll never trust him, and you'll pay him back every day of the relationship in some subtle way.
There's a million fish in the sea, anyway.
And he'll always be that guy. He'll always cheat on you. Because that's just the way he conducts himself in his relationship with you.
See, I'm thinking, because he's in the Navy, and I'm thinking,
yeah,
if he gets out soon, and for some weird reason, I'm thinking just like, as soon as he's out of the Navy, it'll be fine, because the girl also is.
In the Navy?
Yeah.
Right, but then he'll get out of the Navy, and he'll get a job, and he'll bang the chick he works with at Kinko's.
Well, I mean, if he's with her in the Navy, then when he's with you out of the Navy, why wouldn't he still pursue her? It's the same situation, just reverse a little bit.
Yeah. Because she's leaving.
All right, but there'll be other ones. Get out of there, Christine.
You got to get out.
You got in when you were young. You're what, 20?
23.
If you can't do
I mean, when you got in, you were 20?
Oh, 21.
Well, look, if you can't do it, it's because you don't have enough health in your life, and you got to build that maybe first. Some close relationships, people you can rely on who support you, who you can spend time with, deal with, help you manage your feelings, and then you got to go.
That was funny. She said she was from San Diego, and she just moved to New York, but she sounded like she was born in Brooklyn, didn't she?
A little bit.
I mean, she really adapted quickly. Nick?
Yeah.
They'll never take her back into San Diego. Nick, you're 19. What's up?
How you doing, Adam?
Good.
I'm just calling to say hi to Adema.
What's up, dude?
The music's really great.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Your guys' demos over and over from my roommate, your cousin.
Boom.
Killer, man.
Mark's cousin, Pete.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, you guys are great.
He's related to... Everyone's related in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the problem.
We're all second cousins.
Oh, yeah. Got a big family of musicians.
Nick, did you get the CD, though?
Yeah, I got the CD.
Oh, okay, all right.
Got five copies of it.
Oh, thanks, brother.
Anyway, Adam, I don't know what your problem is with Bakersfield.
Well, it's
Nick, you live there.
It's a dump. Come on.
It's all right.
Really?
Hey, if Bakersfield was so crappy,
right?
You wouldn't get bands like Edema and Korn and.
No, see, I disagree. I think their artistic energy is a response to that horrible environment.
Yeah.
It's what breeds it. It's
like Seattle rained all the time.
It's like any good artist comes from an environment that's a little tough. Sometimes it's just the family, other times it's the whole place. But it breeds artistic expression when you come from that sort of area. I mean, no good bands come out of Beverly Hills or Hancock Park, right? They all come out of these areas.
Yep.
Thank you. They're like, bands are like prize fighters.
Yeah.
You gotta grow up in a tough neighborhood on the south side of Chicago in order to get that sort of eye of the tiger. Thank you. Hey, I bred the band with the boxing. Did you see that? The eye of the tiger?
Genius.
That's great.
Thank you. All right, let's talk to Mary, who's 24. Mary?
Yes?
What's up?
I have a question. Apparently, the last couple of times that I've had sex with my boyfriend, after I have an orgasm, I almost get very dizzy and nauseous, and I almost feel like I'm about to pass out.
Sounds like great sex.
Yeah.
It is. It's just that I get very nervous that I'm almost going to black out, or I almost get... I've let him know, and I feel awkward to let him know that I'm almost on the verge of... where I almost feel like I'm going to throw up, because I feel like I'm releasing that many toxins, and I'm just, like, kind of losing it.
Have you ever seen South Park, like, Stan, when he sees his crush? He, like, wants to puke and stuff.
Hey, Mary, does he got you on one of those sex swings, you know, those harness things?
That...
No. No, okay.
Do you have pain during intercourse?
No. I used to, but not anymore.
Do you hyperventilate?
I try not to.
So maybe you're hyperventilating me. That's all this is.
Oh, okay.
So, it's right.
Well, I mean, put it this way. If you lay down on the sofa and you start breathing real hard and real fast and then you scream and then you stand up, you're going to be a little lightheaded, a little dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Normal.
Well, it's not precise. I mean, you should have a pelvic exam to make sure there's not some infection or something.
But that wouldn't make her dizzy.
Yeah, that would make her nauseated. Those people get nauseated and dizzy.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, Do guys ever go through that? Do they ever go through, like, such an intensive orgasm where it's just, like,
yeah,
feel like they're going
to
collapse?
And I did. I collapsed on the way to the fridge once, and I hit my head on a coffee table, but I was pretty loaded. So I think it was definitely the beer, but...
No, Mary, they don't.
No, guys don't do that.
No.
I don't know. You know, let me ask this, too. Do guys... Guys grow up playing sports, or at least a lot of guys grow up playing sports, and you're used to kind of spending yourself a little bit, working up a sweat, and then stopping. And in sex, for a guy, most guys, can be like a little two-on-two basketball or something.
Or a sprint?
Yeah, just be like...
Like a nice sprint or something.
Yeah, for me, it's like a good 40, 30... good 10-yard dash, you know?
Bring it down.
Right, right. And so maybe guys condition themselves a little to do that go up maybe. And go down thing
and,
a little
and
bit.
After all, there is something more internal going on with them. And you're moving viscera around sometimes.
Well, viscera?
Maybe not you, Adam, but some guys are able to move... the internal parts around.
Oh, you're really? Oh, you're scrambling them.
Yeah.
And interesting.
And usually women will have pain and nausea when that's happening.
Hmm. All right.
You are doing that.
All right. We're going to take a little break. Dima's our guest tonight. We'll hear something off the CD entitled The Dima. And we'll be back with some tour dates and more of your calls after this.
Hello? Oh, my God. Is this Loveline? Call 1-800-LOVE.
Hi, I'm Jerry Springer, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, he is.
He would have appreciated the last conversation during the break, too.
It was all ass. That's all we spoke of. It was one big fart conversation.
Booty conversation.
Adema's here, and let me tell you, I'm an atheist, and farting is kind of my religion. And just like anybody of any religion, when I meet brethren, you know what I mean? Who are into it too? I immediately feel closer
well,
to
you
them.
Have and that's, you have communion with them.
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about edema.
This is evidence of God for you. This is the connection with the spiritual.
That's right. Thank you. Tim, Mark, and Mike are all here from the band. We're going to hear something off the edema CD in just a moment. I think what we'll do is we'll take a call and then we'll hear a song. Paula.
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I love you guys. I especially love the interesting conversations I've been listening to this evening. Made me laugh all the way home. Thank you.
Great.
Well, I've been dating this guy for a year and a half. He's totally great. He bought me a car. I've been making, like, one payment on it. He spoils me. He treats me really good. Everything is perfect, but I'm finding myself falling into the pattern of looking and flirting and coming very close to cheating on him with other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just him. It's been other guys that I've dated as well.
Stinking whore.
How old is he?
No.
How old is he?
He's 22.
And how long have you been with him again?
I've been with him for a year and a half.
Do you think maybe just the relationship's over? It's not like you sabotaged it at the beginning. You've been in a relationship with him for a year and a half, and it's sort of run its course, maybe.
But I don't feel I could totally. I see myself spending the rest of my life with him. But
maybe that's what's scaring you. That's why.
I think she's guilty that she has this friggin' car.
Right.
And she wants to get rid of the guy, but she wants the car too. And I think she wants to.
Oh, he'd let me keep the car.
No, her thing is this guy's perfect. Why do I sabotage relationships with perfect guys? Right.
No, but it hasn't just been perfect guys. The last boy I dated, and I say boy, he dropped out of high school. He had no plans with his future. He was working at a gas station.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that.
So that's why dating this guy who treats me really well. He's in college. He owns his own car.
Aren't you making my case for me? What I said was, why do you sabotage a relationship with the good guys?
Jesus.
But it's not just good guys, though.
All right,
what
listen. First off, clear something up. You said he bought you a car and you only made one payment.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, he bought you the car, right?
Well, the loan is in his name. I've had it for a couple months. And I've made 1.5 payments on it. Like, out of 4 payments, I made 1.5. And he made the others.
I know, but don't you think he's going to stop making the payments after you dump him?
Yeah.
Okay, so him letting you keep the car is not really letting you keep the car if you don't own the car, right?
Well, after it's paid off, he would sign it over. We've already had this discussion.
It's going to be paid off in 4 years, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's assuming you'll be with him in 4 years.
Yeah. All right, anyway, so don't factor the car in, because if you dump him tomorrow, you're going to have to take over the payments.
Right.
Okay, but it seems like you're just not into the guy. I mean, I am, though.
He makes me happy. I mean, the sex is great.
Well, what is it that you don't like about him?
Nothing.
Okay, then why do you think you feel the need to cheat on him?
I think what happened is I went into this relationship a little too soon after I left my other one, and I'm feeling I can totally see myself settling down with this guy. It's just I kind of want to live life before I settle down.
All right, that's fine.
Tell him.
Then that's
it. But I'm afraid that if we break up, I will lose him forever.
You will.
You might.
You will.
You might. But that's,
I don't want to. He's perfect.
You've got to make that decision. Lots of guys do this. Men do this all the time. Men will leave a relationship knowing that there's a good chance they will lose them, regret it really their whole life, but still believe they had to do it because they could not have been in that relationship without having first to go out and test things.
And this is what we were talking about at the top of the show, actually, after the farting stopped, which is going to be the name of my next book, After the Farting Stopped. But
way to start the show off with a bang.
You're in your early 20s, and you have this feeling of just when you think about not seeing this person ever again or having them in your life ever again, you get a pit in your stomach, right?
Yes, get scared to death.
Right, and everybody does that in their early 20s, and it's just part of growing up and being that age and experiencing life. And I say do it sooner than later because it will come. You can't have both. You can't live life and live with this guy.
But why do I always... But it's for, like, bad guys. Like, guys who totally don't meet up with his standards.
Well, yeah, but
that's
stop.
What you want.
But you know what? You're putting everybody into a computer. This guy has a job. This guy goes to college. This guy has his own car. And by the way, she's real fixated on the car thing. It's not that big a deal.
No, it's not. Well,
but you said this guy has his own car. He got you a car. I mean...
It's not the car. My car.
Well, you'll fall in love with somebody, and it won't be based on how they look on paper.
Is there something about your... Wait, hang on. Do you have a bad boy dad? A dad that was not available and was alcoholic, maybe, that kind of thing?
Did what?
Did you have a father who was abusive or was alcoholic?
No, my father passed away when I was 15.
What kind of guy was he?
He wasn't a drinker. I mean... My mom worked a midnight shift, so I mainly grew up with my dad. I don't remember, I guess. He smoked weed, but that's about it.
And what kind of guy was he?
He treated my mom good. I know that if he hadn't passed away, they'd still be married to this day.
What did he die of?
Lung cancer.
How did he treat you, though?
I was daddy's little girl. I'm an only child.
What did he do for a living?
He worked in a factory.
Okay. All right.
He graduated from high school, but he never pursued college.
Did he have his own car?
Yes, he had his own car.
Okay, all right. So he was a keeper.
Did he have his own?
No wonder your mom never let him go. He had his own wheels.
You may just, you know, women frequently go through a phase where they've got to date a bunch of bad guys.
Yeah.
And they get through that. And you may just go through that phase, Paula. So go ahead.
Yeah. And listen, get it out of your system. It's fine. At 21, you shouldn't be wanting to get married. You should have that. All right, let's hear something from Edema. What do you say? You queued up there, Anderson? This is from the self-titled CD called Edema, and this is called Giving In.
Yeah.
A little something from our new fart buddies, Edema. They're going to be here all night. Edema is also the name of the CD. I'll give you some dates where you can find them around the country. Also this evening, and let's talk to Liz, who's 19. Liz?
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that, you know, hi and everything, and the Edema is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll be at the Chicago show Halloween night.
Cool. Oh, cool.
At front, of course. But anyhow, I just want to say the song Close Friends.
Uh-huh.
Did you write that from, like, a personal experience, or how did that come up?
Well, the band was actually just about to do a demo, and I was with this girl for a few years, and I found out that the drummer of the band at that time was fooling around with her, so it was kind of like a song for both of them, you know. It's like they were both good friends of mine, and you know, it was just shocking for me to find that out, especially at a time where we were finally getting somewhere, you know, getting noticed. Our music was getting noticed, so I wrote those lyrics about that.
You guys broke up and kicked the drummer out?
Yeah.
Good. Good. But it's good. Then the band took off, and you're single, and you're banging your way across the United States.
Yeah, it was a blessing in disguise, actually. We got a drummer. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. His name is Chris Coles, by the way. He wanted me to say that for him tonight.
Chris Coles.
Hey, Liz?
Yeah?
All right.
Okay.
All right. Is that it? Nothing else?
Well, if you want to, like, hook me up with backstage passes or anything.
See, Drew? They almost had her off the line.
No problem.
You're going to be at the Chicago show, huh?
Yeah, we'll see you there.
All right, good times there, baby.
All right, bye.
All right, let's say hi to Michael real fast before we take a break. Michael, no?
Hey, how are you?
Let's answer him.
All
right, hey, what's up?
Not much. I'm quickly approaching my 30th birthday and starting to get those feelings of depression. I normally get around my birthday, but this year they seem to be just a little bit more intense.
You know, because you're turning 30?
Yeah.
Because you have chronic depression?
Well, it seems to come along whenever my birthday is around.
Well, right. Have you
now, I'm that way too with birthdays, Christmas, and weekdays.
and football
Saturday,
season.
But yeah. Not Sunday during football season.
Yeah. No.
And sometimes there's a good college game on Saturday. I'm okay too.
Florida State, yeah.
All right.
Well, look, Michael, here's the deal. Here's what I've noticed in people in their early 30s that get depressed. It's usually that their life isn't quite together the way they want it. Their friends are getting on and doing things, establishing careers, getting family started. And some people feel left behind by that. And if that's you, if that's what's causing you to feel sort of depressed now that you are 30, maybe it's time to look into some of those things and take care of business.
Man, it's a bitch, too, as a guy, if you don't have your career on track and your buddies are starting to make money. You remember that? Oh, Drew, yeah. You didn't have that.
No.
You were the buddy who was making money, making everyone feel bad. Did you guys ever have that? Like, how old are you guys? You guys are pretty young, right?
Yeah, I'm 24.
I'm 22. And
26.
Oh, yeah. All right. I was that guy then. I'm the only guy in this room. You know, there's nothing worse than you're still sort of pecking away at the dream, and your buddies went the
For
straight
sure.
route, and they've worked their way up the ladder just a little bit, and they got some dental insurance. Guy pulls up in a new Maxima, and it's like, oh, dude.
Pulls into your gas station that you work at, that kind of thing.
Right, right. Fill her up and check the oil pressure. Yeah. What's your goober?
I think I kind of went through that sort of thing, like, because I didn't finish college and I had other friends that did. You know, you kind of see them starting careers. You know, you kind of feel like, man, I'm still living in a garage or other people's couches. And
yeah, I know. They like
those are all my new friends now, by the way.
You got one of those secured credit cards where you pay them $500 and they give you $300 credit. Bank of Hoban issued it to you. It's a page.
You just got to be 18 and breathing to get it.
Right. Yeah, we trust you. Just give us $500. We'll give you $250 credit. No problem. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Edema after this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tim, Mark, and Mike are all here from Edema. We'll hear something else off of the Edema CD. They're going to be at the Palladium, the Hollywood Palladium, tomorrow night. So that ought to be a quite an extravaganza. It gets a little rowdy around there. I'll tell you, I live not too far from the Hollywood Palladium, and they got all the hardcore acts over there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's the place.
Tomorrow it's hardcore.
It's been the place for a little while, I think. I mean, the Palladium, Drew, you remember that? Growing up in Palladium? No. You remember Perkins Palace?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Perkins.
Over in Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
I saw the Plasmatics over there in like 1981.
Nice.
Yeah, old Wendy O. God rest her soul.
Oh, yeah.
The car finally blew up while she was in it, and That's what happened to the plasmatics. True. Remember the plasmatics?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You catch them when they're
over? No, never saw them. Never met her.
I'll tell you, the plas... You guys remember the plasmatics?
I remember Wendy. Yeah.
The plasmatics were the first sort of cartoon punk band, meaning the punk scene was around for a couple of years, and there was all the hardcore punk bands, and then the plasmatics were sort of the Kiss.
Yeah.
What Kiss was to rock, the plasmatics were to punk. And there's a couple of things I remember about that show. She would, you know, take the chainsaw, and she wore, like, clothes pins on her nipples and everything, and she would take the chainsaw and carve the guitars in half and stuff. But there's two things I remember from that show. First, they would blow up a car on stage, which I was in the mosh pit, and my chin was actually resting on the stage. And I remember turning to my buddy Todd and telling him this is going to be bogus when she took the big TNT stick and threw it into the old junk car. But it blew up, man. I mean, it scared the S out of me. I was in shock for 2 days. I couldn't believe it. And the other thing that put me in shock is the lead guitar player was wearing like a tutu and fishnet stockings, and he had one nut that was hanging out of his tutu. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but when a nut gets pressed hard against fishnets, it makes a checkerboard pattern on it. And the stage about 5 feet high, and this guy had his foot up on the amp, you know, and I was just standing under him looking at this one ball the entire show.
That's horrible.
Waffle
ball.
Yeah,
traumatizing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw him twice. I didn't even want to see him the second time. We saw him once as kind of a goof, and then 2 days later, some like distant family member called and said, "Hey, your little nephew has tickets and needs somebody to take him to the Plasmatics." Over. I was there two nights ago. Well, can you take him? So we went again. What the hell? They blow up the car, but this time I stood back. Well, anyway, Wendy O's dead. Daniel?
You pansy!
Yeah?
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say, Adam, you rule. You're like the funniest guy I've ever heard in my life.
Great. Thank you.
And Dr. Drew, you're like the genius. If I ever go on that millionaire show, I'm going to use you as a last
thing. Have fun.
Yeah, whatever.
What's up, Daniel?
Well, I like performing oral on my girlfriend a lot, right?
Right.
And I was just wondering, if she's on her menstrual period, is there any way that if I perform oral on her while she's on it, that I could get sick or something?
Does she have any infectious diseases?
Not that I know of.
No, then you wouldn't.
Nah?
Nah.
Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? He was kind of hoping the answer would be yes. So
you have an excuse.
Give her an excuse, right.
No, because I'm wondering about the secretion or something, like if there's any way I could get sick, stomach problems. Something.
No. Well, you're not, you know, I wouldn't suggest you lap up anything. But no, right. You know, if you have something infectious, if she has something that you could contract, you could, a more effective way to get it is by blood exposure, obviously.
Could
bloodborne diseases, but other than that, no.
What if you compromise and just lick her maxi pad?
Oh.
I mean, just, you want to be hardcore, but you don't want to be too hardcore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want to show commitment, but not get hepatitis. You know what I'm saying?
It's a route to go.
It just sounds like a compromise.
All right,
Daniel. Is she going to let you do this, by the way?
Is she asking for it? I mean, is she asking for you to do it during the...
Daniel? I think he hung up. I got to tell you, I would not trust a woman who would let a guy do this. Because most sane women would be like, no way. Get out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's let, and then there's also sort of encourage. The encouraging would be like, no.
But well, even let.
If a guy were really insistent upon it, that's the guy's problem.
You got a story, Drew? No. You never let anyone do that to you while you're... Oh, no.
Not during my period.
I see. All right.
Class.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a period, not because I want a period, but... More's
blame something.
Yeah, sorry about the mood, fellas. I'm on the rag. Hey, Doug, sorry I snapped at you in the car, man. But you know what I'm saying? You've been there.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't make it into work today. I'm feeling a little crampy. Or hey, I need like a gallon of Haagen-Dazs. I'm just going to cry and watch TV. I can't go to work. Yeah. Yeah, it just... Yeah, it wouldn't be bad just to have in your hip pocket, you know? Just
because you never know if they're lying or not.
It's no, and you're not going to, and what are you going to call them out on?
Call out the days.
Ask for proof.
And, yeah. And listen, I've been in a, you know, I've been a boss when people have called in, and as soon as a chick goes, well, yeah, okay, no, that's cool. Don't come in. Take tomorrow, take the week off, whatever it takes.
Take the
yeah, as a guy, you don't have any of that. The only one you got is I drank too much, and then you get, you know, you get punished for that. Hey, Angie?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so lucky with that period.
What's up, Angie?
I don't know if I would call it lactating, but for like the last 3 years, I have some sort of liquid coming out of my breast.
You know, I like to lactate just to use as an excuse.
That would be lactating.
Right.
Yeah, are you on any medication?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing at all.
No birth control pills, nothing?
Nothing.
Okay.
Do a certain amount of women do this?
Yeah, sometimes just irritation of the nipple can cause it. And sometimes it's thyroid conditions. There are other things that can do it, so it's something that's important to have worked up, have a doctor look at. Okay, Angie?
Okay.
But sometimes it amounts to nothing.
Do you have a boy?
Pregnancy is the number one reason. Are you any chance you're pregnant?
No.
For 3 years?
3 years. I thought you said 3 months.
All right, genius. Yeah, kid's going to come out as be 14 years old. He's going to have his junior high diploma. Hey, Angie.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Okay, so there's nobody to protest. And you should see a doctor, though. You never know.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Hey, good times, right?
Okay.
All right. All right. Was she leaking all the time?
We didn't ask.
Only in January.
Do they have... Hey, Angie? Angie? Oh, she hung up. Do they have, like, a...
pad?
Maxi pad for your bra?
Oh, wow.
Like a Stridex pad, something round
something
that you could put in there?
For breastfeeding and stuff. They must have something, yeah.
I'd like to look into that. I'd get one of those, too. Couldn't hurt. And add a cup size, you know. All right, Edema's here. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be back with the band. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. Those are our good friends, System of a Down, who last time they tried to play the Hollywood Palladium, all hell broke loose over there just a couple of weeks or a couple of months back. Remember that there, Drew?
Yep.
Okay, that's good radio. That's why he gets the big bucks. Tim, Mark, and Mike are both here from, or all here, I should say, from Edema. We'll hear something off the self-titled CD, which is out everywhere as we speak. They're also going to be at the Palladium tomorrow night. And then they're going to get in their bus and tour this great country of ours. And there's a lot of tour dates here, and it's basically everywhere. They're starting in L.A., and they're going to end up in Chicago about 3-4 weeks later, and they're going to be everywhere in between. So do you guys got a website or something like that if people want to find out where you're going to be and when?
Yeah, you could go check it out at edemaonline.com.
All right, so do that and find out when the band is coming to your town, because they will be. Joe?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, you're 37. What's up?
Well, I have a boyfriend that I've been with about 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got a divorce, we were together for about 6 months.
Wow. Right.
And everything was perfect. He was going through a divorce.
I think she's having a seizure.
But then all of a sudden, he just quit seeing me except during lunch hour at work.
Right.
And I've been putting up with it for like the last year and a half.
Just seeing him over by the vending machine? And
no, at my house. He would come over for lunch. And you guys got a really crazy show, but I respect your guys.
Well, what makes you
come over and have sex?
Yeah, we would have lunch and sex.
Every day.
It's my ideal. He doesn't come over just for that, but I'm the one who brings it on.
How do you figure he doesn't come over just for that? That's just what he's doing.
Well, because he's like, he buys me diamonds. I mean, these girls are talking about they buy cars and stuff. He buys me diamonds. He buys me, you know, everything I want, but he's not ready for that commitment thing. And I figure after 2.5 years...
The commitment thing of seeing you in the evening, that part of the commitment?
Does he give you diamonds at lunch? Is that when he gives you the diamonds at lunchtime?
Yeah, well, how does he...
Does he whip out the diamond after the tuna fish sandwich right before he...
Yeah, pretty much. You guys are nuts.
Don't you figure
it? He's such a romantic. He actually put it in her deviled hand last week. It was great. She bit down on it, but then she passed it. Yeah, Joe. So I understand he may not want commitment, but he couldn't see on a Saturday night.
Well, he used to. We used to be together, like, all the time, and then he got scared of that commitment thing.
Okay.
All right, Joe, you don't figure he's seeing someone else in the evenings, perhaps?
Well, I thought that.
Yeah.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he may be banging someone during brunch. That's my feeling.
Coffee break.
He's got a brunch date, right?
Oh, come on. No.
Well,
he tells me he loves me, and like...
Well, if he says he loves you, then that's it.
He certainly knows how to keep you strung along, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, do you think he got divorced?
Oh, yeah, I saw the divorce papers. Oh. I was with him after the divorce. Hmm. We were together. We almost lived together after that.
Okay. So
practically, and then he got scared of that commitment thing, because after 28 years of marriage, he got scared.
Yeah, I would stop thinking of it in terms of a commitment thing. This guy does not have a commitment problem. He's 50. He's been through a marriage. He just wants to F around, basically. And you're just a nice, sort of convenient, ready service.
Yeah,
for him.
You think? That's what I've been thinking. After 2.5 years, it's almost...
Yeah. Yeah, you were... Oh, God bless you. Do you have a sister?
Wow.
What a woman.
It's so I gave him the biggest 50th birthday ever, and I...
At lunchtime? During lunch, though?
She made him a Diablo sandwich and a Mr. Pibb, and she had those deli-style pickles,
The slice long ways?
Yeah, slice long ways. Wow. Put those on.
She spelled a 50 with the pickles.
That's right. And this time, it wasn't fries or slaw. It was both. Oh. You understand? Yeah. She pulled out all the stops. Oh, Christ. This is such a mess. And what is it with these chicks? You hear her cadence in her voice?
Yeah, 37 going on 19, 22.
Maybe.
Well, because I'm old compared to everybody else calling in.
Joe, what do you do?
Yeah, but you sound younger, Joe.
What do you do for a living? Just hawk these diamonds, or what do you do? You like wash animals?
I have my own money, put it that way.
You have your own money.
Creative lunchtime specials.
Another way to arrest development.
No.
Somebody left
money off of that, but
did somebody leave you some money?
Yes.
I see. And you just kind of kept. I mean, just kind of...
Yeah, I'm pretty well off.
All right. Oh. All right.
And he is too. I mean, it's not the money issue. It's I feel like I'm hitting my... I've been single for so long.
Right.
And then I'm ready to settle down.
Right.
He's married for so long.
You may have to accept the fact that he doesn't want that kind of relationship. And if he is not able to compromise, then you have to end this relationship and find someone who is able to give you what you need.
Sex.
All right.
If you like the lunchtime thing, stick with
all
it.
Good.
Yeah. Sometimes the
just let him have. I mean, he's satisfied with it, but I'm not.
All right.
I want more.
That's right.
Then get
him. Tell him.
And why don't you tell him? Yeah. Are you scared?
But would I give him an ultimatum?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Why not? You're gonna have to leave anyway. So you might as well see if he can step up or not.
All right, Joe.
You think I should?
Yes, lay down the law.
You're all good, Joe. Unless you like being the lunch special.
How come we don't tell Joe therapy, therapy, therapy?
Therapy, therapy, therapy.
Therapy.
What's that?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, spend some of that money on therapy, all right?
Please.
Well, I think I'm going to go on a single line then and just become single again.
Yeah, this is no laughing.
That's right.
Man.
You're single now. I got news for you.
That's what I pretty much
right.
get.
Right. Okay. What do you guys?
I'm a really nice looking girl. I'm really.
No, I know. What do you guys use for lube? Miracle Whip?
No, oil.
Okay, all right.
Oil. Mayonnaise.
Canola oil and a little egg white.
Extra
right?
virgin oil.
You got mayonnaise. All right. Oh boy.
Joe was sad. Joe's sad.
Yeah, Joe's like
37
and a little
what a
little retarded, right?
I think that may be alcohol.
You think that's alcohol?
That could possibly
you know what I
be
think?
That.
I think when you're a hot chick, people just don't call you out too much.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't go, hey, Nimrod, what are you thinking with the big boobs and the blonde hair over there? You know, you just don't get a sufficient amount of crap from your friends or society. Because Joe obviously is good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's got money, and she's just sitting in her apartment.
Coasting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Daniel? Actually, I think we're all a little bit jealous. I wish I could just sit home, live off my stipend, and have some old guy bang me during lunch. It's not a bad life. Think about it. We're out busting our hump. It's not a bad gig she's got.
Pretty empty.
Daniel?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say you guys are awesome. And, like, one of my goals for my band is to be on your show one day.
All right, it's not going to happen, but go ahead. Where are you from? Are you from Bakersfield?
Ask a Deem. It's not that great an experience either.
Yeah, they're over it.
I'm from Harbor City. It's in L.A.
You move out to Bakersfield and...
get some inspiration.
Yeah, right.
Get serious about your career.
Ride that wave.
All right, well, my question is that I've been doing speed for about a month and a half now.
All right.
Maybe about 3-4 times a week. And when I do it, I smoke weed with it, too, sometimes.
Sure.
And... a couple nights ago, and this has happened before, but it got really intense the other night. I was smoking a little bit, and then I'd been doing speed all day, and then I kind of had this like numb kind of feeling on my body. Like I was like my body was hollow. It was weird, and I kept checking for my pulse, like because it felt like my heart wasn't beating right. And
was your pulse real fast?
Yeah, it was going fast, and then it was like kind of goes a little slower, you know, and sometimes it would get really weak, and I would keep checking it to feel it because it kind of felt like my heart wasn't beating.
Well, your heart for sure was beating, but this is how people die in speed.
Really?
In speed, you get rhythm disturbances, and very significant, usually rapid rhythm disturbances of the heart, and they break down, and you lose your, you stop perfusing your brain. And
Is it that you speed yourself up in your... Is it this with your heart? I never really thought about this. Hold on a second there, Daniel. But your heart has its rhythm, like as if you're running on a treadmill, a pace. Somebody speeds up the treadmill, and you kind of lose your pace?
No, what happens is the entire muscle becomes more irritable, and new pathways that are not supposed to be open up. You have to understand that basically the way the heart rhythms occur is by these little circuits developing and discharging. And new circuit pathways start to open up through which electricity can pass very, very rapidly.
Right.
So the heart develops these very, very rapid and sometimes irregular rhythms. And if they are so rapid that the blood can no longer be supplied to the heart, then the muscle becomes further irritable. It gets
but why
new and
why
more.
Would they be, if they're more rapid, wouldn't more blood be
no,
supplied?
Because the ventricle doesn't fill sufficiently. It's so fast that the blood can't get into the ventricle before it gets out.
Uh-huh.
So it's pop, 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 pop. And then now it breaks down into some completely non-functional rhythm. There's no pulse, no nothing, and you're dead.
All right. Well, good times. So, are you saying Daniel's dead, or...?
No, I think Daniel needs to get his marijuana and speed addiction treated.
Hey, Daniel?
Yeah?
That might be a good plan for you.
Yeah, stop doing speed. I'm telling you, man. It's not worth it.
I mean, I go without it for, days at a time.
I'd say, Daniel, 70% of my speed addicts, profound speed addicts that I treat, only do it 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's why I was calling. I was wondering if it was just maybe in my mind at the time, or it was really happening. I was kind of scared. You know?
Either way, you got a problem, and you might as well deal with it before something real does happen.
Okay.
Can you do that, Daniel?
Yeah.
So then you and the band can move on, have some success, and then you can not come on the show. No, seriously. Listen, I'd be fine with that. You guys sell a few records and come on the show down the road. But that's you can't do that from the grave. You understand?
Yeah.
All right.
I also can I ask another quick question?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I've been taking Prozac for about a month now, and
no,
and I've been.
By the way, Prozac plus speed can cause a deadly combination too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been missing. I miss days every now and then. Does that mean it's not going to take effect or?
No, half-life of Prozac, there's a long-acting Prozac now. You'll have to take once a week, but the usual daily one takes about 7 days to get out of your system.
Okay.
And plus, man, if you're already taking medication for like a psychological problem like that, you shouldn't be taking another drug that's just going to mess you up more.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel.
Okay.
You know what you got to do, but you got to do it. You're experimenting on yourself, and you're going to screw yourself up.
Okay. Can I say what's up to my friends real quick?
No. You focus on your sobriety, all right?
All right.
All right. What are your friends' names? That wasn't me. That was Anderson. All right. Let's.
Although your finger was poised to do the same thing. Let's be fair.
Well, okay, but Anderson beat me to it. Is this a... Wait, this isn't Seca, is it? Seca?
Seca?
No, Seca?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that porn star, Seca, though, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, really?
I don't know too many. I know a few, but...
Wow. She's a legend.
Yeah. She alive still?
She died with Wendy O when the car blew up.
I have a couple questions, actually. I told one to the screener, but the one I was calling about is I was just wondering... Is there ever a point for guys that there's too much sex with one girl?
If she's fat, yeah.
Well, I'm not fat.
All right, well then, no.
It depends on the guy. It depends on the relationship.
What are you calling too much?
Yeah.
Well, see, for me, I would... Like, okay, the perfect, I guess, amount of sex for me would be like...
Well, do it in pounds, not in times.
Okay, like once a day and then a blowjob every other day.
Damn, bitch!
The every other day, would that replace the sex or would it be in addition to the sex?
Addition.
In addition.
So you get sex once a day, and then you get the BJ every other day, and then you have a sensible dinner. And
a light snack.
Touché.
Sounds like that's about right.
That sounds like a pretty good
maintenance. Sounds like a great relationship.
That's a solid maintenance plan.
I just don't want to... bore him, I guess, is my...
If he gets bored, I think...
Yeah, but then some guy... are you having some problem with your current boyfriend?
Well, no. Not really. I just... Sometimes I get the sense that maybe... I mean, maybe he's just, tired from work or whatever.
No, you may be up against a difference in your sort of rhythms. He may be, a two or three time a week guy, and you may be a once a day person.
Or if you're like me, like you're blown once a day, and then you take the sex every other day. Yeah, so, like, we wouldn't work out.
We're big problems.
Yeah.
But the point is, that people have differing needs, and you have to sort of reach some sort of compromise. And if he's getting uncomfortable with this, eventually will get a little bit kind of resentful and uncomfortable and start pushing you away a little bit. You got to stay attuned to each other.
Okay, and the other question, thank you for answering that.
Some guys also freak out on women...
pushing it?
Yeah, initiating too much.
Maybe I can just be submissive or something.
There's a giant difference between... not being aggressive and initiating and being submissive. How about just sort of sitting back and seeing, being suggestive, being open to it, but not initiating openly and see if he initiates or when he does.
All right.
What's the next question?
It's kind of for Dr. Drew. And the other problem is he's been having, he's been trying to call and ask you this, but he never gets through. But his right nut's been hurting. No, it's ridiculous. But I guess he called a nurse today, and she said maybe it's because he's not having sex. And I just don't think that's a very logical answer.
Well, especially not with you as his girlfriend. But but there's, listen, it could be a kidney stone. It could be a torsion. It could be something that could be quite serious. It could be a tumor. It needs to be checked out. It could be probably epididymitis or something like that. But it needs to be examined before somebody can figure out what it is.
It's not all the time. It's just a few days at a time, and
But listen, it can be a lot of things. It needs to be examined. Why he'd call someone and expect that to get an accurate answer is ridiculous.
Can he do that? Yes. No one call this show. Seca, does he have a doctor he can go to?
Yeah.
All right, have him do that.
Okay.
All right. You stick with that 7 three and a half policy of yours.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
You guys have a good night.
Right.
Bye.
Thank you. And I guess there's certain weeks you get four BJs, and then other weeks you get three, or because you couldn't get three and a half if you're going every other day, but there's only 7 days in a week.
Yeah, she's going on a lunar calendar, so it just keeps going.
See, my thing is I do the sex every day. No, I do the BJ every day. I do the sex every other day, and then every second Sunday is hand job Sunday. That's where I get the. I just get the hand job. Then there's reach around Tuesdays. I got a whole. I'll show you my chart. You guys should see it. It's great. Yeah. Anal sex is just on Easter. And the Sabbath, the high holidays. And I'm not Jewish, but I like to celebrate my own way. Amber?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, I just want to say I've been listening for about 5 years. I think you guys are great, doing a good job. It's great.
Thank you.
And I have a question for Adema, well, mostly for Mark. Hi, I think you guys rock. Can't wait to see you in concert.
Thank you very much.
I was wondering, the song Speculum, I really liked that song when I first heard it. Like, really touched me. And I was just wondering, what's it about? What's the story behind that?
Well, actually, I'll let Tim answer that for you, because he actually gave me the inspiration to write that song.
Oh, really?
A few years back, a girlfriend I had that was real special to me at the time, we had broken up, and apparently she was pregnant with my baby.
Oh.
And then she decided to have an abortion without telling me. And then she told me like 8 months later, wanted me to forgive her and take her back. And that was kind of like my whole thing, you know, what I told Marcus, how I dealt with it and what it was like not to have the decision, what decision I might have made if I was, you know, would I have made the same decision? Who knows? You know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Oh, wow. God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Were you angry?
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah.
Of course I was angry because, you know, it's, you know, women don't talk about choice, and no offense, not to be insensitive to women, but, you know, I think it's half a man's choice, too. I mean, it's, you know, especially if you're going to be...
But it isn't.
Responsible. It isn't, but I'm just saying. But it's in the real world, it's not. But I'm just saying, if I had the, you know... So I was going to take the responsibility and raise the kid, I think I should have had a choice.
Did,
at least
did you
know.
Take her back?
Yeah, for a little while. For a couple of months, actually. I think.
Beauty of guys.
I took her back for a couple months, and then she got pregnant when I was on tour in Europe.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, oops. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
She was real nice.
Thank you for supporting us.
Thanks, Aaron.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, guys, you got to get that vengeance sex in. You know what I mean? It's payback time, baby.
Payback time. Yeah.
You get a little of that in, and then you're done, because then you get to sort of finish on top, pardon the pun.
I win because I have no kids and I'm free to go.
Right. Right, but I would think that, as far as, like, I've thought about that too, and I'd be pissed if I wanted the kid, but if I didn't want the kid, I mean, if I would have wanted the abortion anyway, I'd probably let it slide, but I'd still probably act PO'd so I could get that vengeance sex in.
Yeah. And look good.
Right. Drew, you want to go to break, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to go to break.
You got anything you want to sell before we hit the break? Any call you like there? Lindsay, who's 20. She's lost the urge to do anything with her boyfriend. Oh, she's from Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in the water. Ademus here. We'll take a break. We'll be back with them and Lindsay after this.
Hi, this is Shaggy.
Mr. Love Upfront and Personal, and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Got it going on up close and personal. Yes.
Drew, do you not like Shaggy?
I love Shaggy.
Oh, you love Shaggy.
Yeah.
Well, who's the guy you don't like?
Maxie Priest.
Oh, that's
right. Not that I don't like him. I was having a love fest with Shaggy. He was sitting here, and Maxie Priest got all mad at me because he said I was dissing him.
You're okay.
I was talking too much to Shaggy.
Where was I?
You were, like, away that night. Maxie Priest got out of here and had a big fit in the parking lot.
And left?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad I wasn't here for that.
It was so from out of left field. It was just like, it was like 10 minutes into the show, Shaggy and I were sort of enjoying. We hadn't seen each other in a couple of years, you know.
Yeah.
This guy went insane.
What was the band where the guy got drunk, he got mad and walked back to the hotel?
Oh,
The Plimsolls?
Sneaker Plimp Pimps.
Sneaker Pimps?
Yeah.
Oh, the Sneaker
Plasmatics.
Pimps. Plasmatics. Yeah.
Do you have that on tape still?
Plasmatics. That's right. Somebody, I remember that, right, during the commercial, the whole band was arguing, and this guy kept getting drunk, and he'd had an ass full of Drew, and the band was yelling, he's a doctor, he knows, and the guy just got pissed, and he walked back to the hotel.
Adam was like, hey, come on, just have a good time, enjoy. Yeah,
good times. You could just, we had the recording of it during the commercial break, and I was just leaning back like, oh, Christ, I got to talk again. So I gave my I was really like, you know when Jimmy Carter goes on this peacekeeping mission once in a while? It was kind of like that, but a very simple Jimmy Carter. Just enjoy. And he walked back to the hotel, and they couldn't even find him.
The hotel was 40 miles from here, but enjoy.
Enjoy
the way some sort of like fat waiter coming to an Italian restaurant in the bad part of town would tell you to enjoy your pasta.
Yeah, it wasn't sincere. That's true. I knew they wouldn't be around again. Adima's our guest, and so far we've had no no trouble with the boys, and let's keep it that way.
Well, you started out in a good way.
Yeah, they started out
on
a good note with the gas.
Asshole.
Seth? Drew, please.
Well, that's what you were commuting about.
That's true. Seth, wait a minute. We weren't going to. Oh.
He was not gone.
Our caller dropped off. Yeah, okay, hello? Seth, you're 16. What's up?
I'm in quite a predicament, man. I don't know where to start. Well, I guess I'll start from the beginning.
All right.
At the beginning of the school year, I met this girl, and I don't know, some people don't believe it, but it was like love at first sight. And the more I got to know her, just I liked everything about her, man. Just, I don't know. And she said she didn't want a relationship, but, you know, because they've all turned out bad and everything. She was like my best friend, you know. I wouldn't trade it for like 1,000 relationships. It's just, I don't know. Never felt like this about anybody before. And, I don't know, she's the first thing I think about when I wake up and the last thing I think about when I go to bed.
Oh, boy. She's not your friend. Not in your head.
And so you guys never went out, though, right?
No, I've like known her all year, though.
She doesn't want to go out.
Hold on. What month are we in? Have you known her for a few months?
Yeah.
Okay. So
you mean 4 weeks?
No, I'm about 2.5 months.
Well, you met her in September?
Yeah.
All right, where are we in now?
We're barely into October.
In January now? Where are we?
You're talking about 4 or 5 weeks, Seth.
2 days ago, we're in the month you met her, right?
You pansy!
What is this, Easter? Yeah, where are we? Shouldn't we be going down to Daytona Beach, fellas? All right, so you've known her for a few weeks, but that's a long time in 16-year-old years, and you're into her, but she's not into you that way, right?
No, but she is. You know, we're like
No, she ain't.
Don't kid yourself.
No, she ain't. If she was into you, you guys would be together.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah, but we're just, like, dating. We're not going out, though.
You're dating?
Yeah.
You go on dates?
Yeah, occasionally.
No. Do you kiss her?
Yes.
You do?
Okay.
Not with your tongue, though.
Yeah.
Your tongue?
Yeah, we're like best friends that occasionally kiss, you know. First time I kissed her when I gave her a tattoo.
The first time you kissed her is when?
When I gave her a tattoo.
What is it? What do you mean you gave her a tattoo?
Yeah, I'm like an amateur tattoo artist.
Oh, really? What are you guys?
Guitar string or something?
Freelance. When are you getting paroled? In the joint, you two? You dating some chick you met in juvie?
Nah, man.
Okay, so anyway, now the plot is thickening just a little bit. What'd you give her a tattoo of, by the way?
A rose.
Oh, I would have. You should put your name on her boob or something.
How old is she?
She's same age as I am.
She's 16.
Yeah.
But somehow she ain't looking at you like a boyfriend, right?
No, it's just, I don't know.
Stop making excuses. Just stay with the facts, Seth.
Seth. Let me just ask you this. If she was into you 1/10 the amount you're into her, would you be calling us? And
yes, but I'm asking advice. Is, you know, how do I tell her I love her?
I think she knows you're into her.
Yeah, you don't. Why would you tell her that?
I don't know. I care so much about her. It's just,
I don't know. But she doesn't reciprocate, Seth. Not the same way. Don't kid yourself.
She doesn't feel that way about you. I mean, she knows you're into her. She told you that she didn't want a commitment, right?
Yeah, she just didn't want a relationship.
Seth, just think about it this way. Even if you didn't want a relationship, if you were as half into her as you actually are, wouldn't you be going for it with her?
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so she's not even...
No, but the problem is, you know, she says if when people get too close to her, she pushes them away, and, you know, she doesn't want to lose this, you know, friendship.
Well, she's 16.
That's an old one, bro.
Yeah,
that's an old...
Yeah.
Hey, Seth? I'll tell you what you can do, then. If you're so sure that she's into you, you can tell her your true feelings and see what she says. I guarantee it ain't going to be good. And you got to accept reality, all right? That's part of being a man. It's tough.
It's possible that she's so disturbed she can't have relationships. But in either case, you ain't having a relationship with her.
And don't get into that weird suicidal freak out, carve your name into your arm and all that kind of stuff we all got into. It ain't worth it. But, man, remember those days when you listened to people? I mean, you know, when people told you either why you were being fired or why they couldn't go out with you and you believed them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That always sucked, huh?
I mean, how true is this? In terms of women, if there's not another guy in the picture, if there is a single woman and she ain't going out with you, it's because she does not want to go out with you, and it does not matter what reason she serves up. Because they start getting into that right now, or it's not a good time, you're such a good friend.
One thing that's kind of weird is that she's actually kissing him, and what I think it is that...
That was a little twist.
I think what it is she's looking for a fan club. Mm-hmm. She wants to keep him along just enough so that he stays with that, just so she can lead him on enough.
And then when she finds a guy who really treats her like crap, she's going to go for that big time.
Exactly.
She is. That's what's going to happen.
Right. And let me tell you, warn you something, young man out there. Women have this gene, guys don't. Meaning a young woman, will like a guy around to really make her feel good. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. And it's not necessarily because they're evil or diabolical, although many of you are. But... they feel good about that. That's here's right. Some guy who would rather go on one date with her than 1,000 dates with 1,000 supermodels, and that's got to make you feel pretty good when this guy's carrying your books around. Guys don't really have that.
Not
either you would like to bang the bejesus out of this girl, or you wouldn't. And if you wouldn't, you don't care. Yeah. Because how good can it make you feel having someone follow you around who you don't want to bang?
Exactly.
That's how guys feel. Yeah. And they're just getting in the way of the ones you do want to have sex with now.
Everybody thinks you're dating that one.
Right.
Exactly. Who wants that?
Right. Michael?
Yeah.
You're 21.
What's going on?
What's up?
Got a problem. Ever since I was 13, I started masturbating. And every time I would reach ejaculation, my right testicle would go up inside of me.
That's normal.
Right. It's normal.
Yeah, happens to some people. You had it for 8 years. That hasn't done anything to you, has it?
Well, no, but a friend of mine, when I lived in Virginia, a friend of mine's brother, he had the same thing. And he wound up having to have surgery and having one of his testicles removed because they got into a knot.
Yeah, well, that's a different thing. They got into a knot. There's nothing to do with the testicles coming up into the abdomen like that.
What causes that?
Your testes start up in your back when you're developing, and they drop down into the sac early in life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pathway that can be left behind when you have the contractions of ejaculation. It'll pull it back up into that old path.
Is it possible that it could get stuck up there?
I've never seen that, but I guess it's possible.
How does that work? I mean, what I'm saying is you know, some guys can like suck a noodle through their nose and it'll come out their mouth.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Well, there you go.
Same guy.
Hell yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. I mean, those pathways are open in some people and not in others, right?
Right.
And that's the same with this.
I wasn't sure if it was linked to possible drug and alcohol use.
No.
And then there's those guys who can suck a noodle up their ass, it comes out their urethra.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
Can that guy, pretty the guy we opened with tonight, do
I think he can
I
do
think
that.
He could suck like a ottoman up his ass. Like a love seat up his ass.
Out his urethra. Shoot it out of his urethra?
Yeah.
Ow.
All right. It's like, you ever see a movie, Weird Science?
Yeah.
Remember when everything was getting sucked up the chimney and shot out the top of the roof? That was like his ass. Hey, Michael, you're fine.
All right.
Do what I do. You put one of those zip ties around the top around the top of the sack before you masturbate. And watch out. You got to cut them off using fingernail clippers. And sometimes, you know, your hand's a little shaky because you're still a little flush from the experience.
We're better than work with you like a nail clipper. It's a little... easier.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But you still got to be careful. But, Drew, it is true that if you pinched off that area, it couldn't get up there, right?
It actually goes up into the groin. So you have to kind of push down there.
No, but I'm saying if it's out... and it's going to start to sort of migrate back up there.
Again, it doesn't. You're thinking about it going like straight up. It kind of comes forward.
But couldn't you?
I guess you could. Yes.
I'm a genius.
Shut up.
Admit I'm a genius. No, if the nuts are hanging in the sack,
it doesn't.
And they're hanging in the sack.
Give me my book.
You know I'm right. If
you can
guys,
you hold the one nut?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Can you hold the one nut with your offhand though?
There you go. That's what you do.
Well, why do you turn the? What do you work the VCR with? Your foot? Use your head. No, use a zip tie.
How am I going to turn pages?
That's right. Drew's got the anatomical
See, you're thinking,
buff.
You're thinking is that it's going to go straight up like this. It doesn't. Right. It comes forward and goes like up like that.
But I'm saying so if you still pinch that sack, I could pinch my sack off.
All right, pinch your sack. That makes enjoy.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Abundanza.
He knows. He knows I'm right. All right. We will. Should we hear a song from Adema?
Yes, we should.
Want to do that? Yeah. You all right there, Anderson? All right, let's do it. It's called The Way You Like It. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Adema's our guest tonight. We have a very interesting story to tell you about when we come back.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Dr. Drew is
right
Dr. Drew is our guest tonight. Thank you. Adema is our guest tonight. Dr. Drew, tell us about the testes. Phone number. Do we need the phone number?
No.
All right. What are we doing? Who's going to tell the story? Mike? Mark? Who had the story about the World Trade Center? Was it everybody?
Well, like me, Mike, me and our drummer Chris Coles, like about a night and a half before the tragedy happened, we were actually up at the 107th floor of the North Building,
up at the restaurant. They call it View to the World
Yeah, we were up there drinking.
Wow.
And then the day that it happened, we were in Hamburg, Germany, and they canceled the show there. The government canceled the show, and they actually arrested people that were involved with it.
It's weird that you guys. I mean, there was a couple of specks on this planet that were very much involved with this tragedy, and you were kind of in both places in a 48-hour period, pretty much, right? Because in Hamburg is where they were rounding up a lot of guys. And they thought that the guys initially was their first stop, I think, before they came to the United States, or they did some training or set up shop over there.
Oh, they went to college there, I think. They went to a university there, a couple of pilots, I think.
I'll tell you. I miss the old Nazi regime over there in Germany where anybody without blue eyes didn't get, would get rounded up. I mean, doesn't seem like such a bad plan anymore, does it, Drew? All right, and so, I mean, obviously you were at the top there, and you're staring out the window, and it just, I mean, you couldn't imagine being up any higher.
Yeah.
Being insane. Up there when the thing was started falling or just jumping out, those ideas are just
makes me sick to even think about it.
Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, not to get too morbid here, but anybody, and I did see I saw the interview with the guy who managed that restaurant, and the guy was just grief-struck because he had all these employees and guys up there prepping and waiters and waitresses and the kitchen guys. And anybody was up higher than where the plane hit, obviously, was not getting down. And then when that thing went, oh, my God. I just couldn't imagine that. And, geez, how freaky was it for you to be in Germany and see that footage?
Well, it was scary because all the footage was in Czech. And, in German, and obviously we don't understand that. And the TV had bad reception.
We were tripping.
Yeah, the people that were translating to us even told us that the White House had gotten hit. And so we didn't know.
We heard that there were like a dozen planes heading to California. They didn't know. We heard some crazy things.
We heard that they were shooting down American planes that weren't responding and that already happened before. So we were all scared for our families, and we have a lot of friends in New York and all around the country. And it was just,
news broadcasts that they were translating?
People will come up to us and say, we think that, in Germany, they weren't getting correct information, obviously, It was just a weird thing because it was just rumors running rampant. We couldn't find anything. We couldn't find any truth or anything that was going on. Everybody was kind of weirded out by it.
I thankfully sleep until about 10:30 in the morning, so everything was all sorted out by the time I... That's my plan. I wake up at noon, everyone gets on the same page, gets everything sorted out, and then I get the real dirt.
This sort of put a damper on your plan to have the phone off the ringer all the time. I mean, what if we really needed to get a hold of you?
I know. I swear to God, I woke up, I got a mess. I check my messages like I do, because I always have 5 calls before I get up, and the first one had that voice going, sent. At 7:22, and the first thought was, yes, this is why I shut my ringer. And it was my stepmom said, turn on the TV. turn on the TV. And she, like, hung up, and I thought, I must be on TV. So not only do I sleep late, but I'm such a narcissist, I figured, I must be on TV. And I said, bitch, didn't tell me what channel I was on. Well, maybe I TiVo'd it. And it was weird. Like, I thought, well, she called at 7:30. It's noon. Maybe I'm still on TV. I'll check it out. And then, of course, then it was all the tragedy after that. But, yeah. It was a freaky... It's freaky, too, when you're disoriented. Like, when you know you're groggy and you got that morning wood and you're hearing these messages saying, turn on the TV, and everyone's freaking out. And you're thinking your first thought is somebody you know or somebody... What a mess. All right, let's talk to Joe over here. Joe's 20. Joe?
Hey. Anyways, good show.
Thanks.
And I'd like to say it's really weird that people leave their radios on since you guys patch it in way before I'm on.
Yeah.
So those guys are pretty stupid.
Thank you. Yeah.
Here's my question. Last night, for the first time ever, I had sex.
You're 20.
Yeah, I know.
Tonight he kills himself because Drew made fun of it.
That's cool. But anyways, so I was going with the girl, and I was just, you know, humping away for like 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, and I could not ejaculate.
Right.
Were you nervous?
Not really. Afterwards, I thought it was kind of weird because we stopped because she was starting to get sensitive, and I'm like, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I was still erect and everything, but...
Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you ejaculate normally when you masturbate?
Yeah.
All right, but you figure this out.
Also, I mean, after, you know, 8 years of steady beating off, the vagina must have been such a new environment for your penis that it was probably confused.
Did you beat off?
It's like, hey, wait a minute, this thing doesn't have knuckles.
Or no calluses.
No class ring, no knuckles, no Lubriderm. What the hell? Where am I? I don't know where I am.
It's a pussy.
Very common for guys their first time out to have some kind of sexual dysfunction. Very common. So there you go.
Is this a girlfriend?
That's a dysfunction?
Yeah.
No. He is a very good friend of mine, and like we were hanging out at my house, and actually... We went to bed, and she was crashing in my room because my roommates don't appreciate when people crash in, like, the living room or whatever. And we started fooling around.
Well, do you want to keep it going with her?
I don't know. It's like it's kind of weird right now. I mean, we're still friends, but
She crashed in there because she wanted to do this with you, Joe.
Well, no, she's telling me she's not interested in being boyfriend and girlfriend.
That's because she knows you're not.
Okay. Cool.
Joe, you better get your licks in. Do you understand? I mean, you need some practice.
Yeah.
Hit it.
I was just wondering about that because we did it again the next morning and everything worked fine.
All right.
Well, there you go.
You're fine. Well, thanks for the call.
It's all good then.
Yeah. You just had to prime the pump.
Just had to announce that he lost his virginity. That's all that was.
All right. Ademus here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We've got Cass Roswell and Say Ferris. Angelica Bridges is going to be in here. She's good and hot. I want to thank Adema for coming in tonight.
No problem, man.
Go out and get that Adema record, please, so they can get out of Bakersfield.
Stay out of Bakersfield.
Stay out of our bands.
They'll be at the Palladium tomorrow night if you're out here in L.A. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Fun show with you guys. I want to thank... who do I want to thank, Drew?
Damien.
Damien Penis Pump, the phone screener.
Tara, don't call me Tara,
goddamn, for doing a great job on the phones. And I was going to say on coffee, but we didn't get any coffee tonight, did we?
Yeah, I sure did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I drank two cups and forgot about it.
Ann?
Producer Ann for putting her feminine stink on the show and doing a great job booking all these great guests like Adema and Anderson for working his magic on the boards.
He's an idiot.
He is. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
There's no such thing as a child.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.